What does Washington State's Kennewick Man reveal about what it means to be human? That is just one of the questions paleoanthropologist John Hawks explores in the PBS documentary First Peoples. The Kennewick Man's bones were first discovered 19 years ago on the shores of the Columbia River. John Hawks said from the moment the bones were found, the Kennewick Man was embroiled in controversy.
Part of that was because of the anatomy of it. When you look at the skull, when you look at some aspects of the anatomy, people who studied it said, well, you know, this doesn't look exactly like today's American Indian people. Maybe there was another population that was here. Maybe there were even European people that had contributed to that early population. And that became a real controversy because, as you know, people who are natives of the Pacific Northwest were saying, hey, look, this is one of our ancestors. We really don't want you to study this in that way. And scientists, some of them, I have to say, were really aggressive and said, you know, we should be able to study all these things. They're not closely connected to any of the modern living groups of Native Americans. And so, you know, this is part of our common heritage. The genetics helps to make clear that, you know, there are elements of both of these stories that are correct. You know, this is not anything like Europeans. It is reflective of an early Native American population, but it does have similarities with other peoples that live all around North and South America. We are learning about our common heritage in that way, but it's something that is reflective of what is a developing story of the way that people entered the New World and began to diversify across it.
Well, and last week, as you know, a DNA test on the bones of Kennewick Man found he is closely related to modern tribes here in the Pacific Northwest. So how does that news affect what we know about the relationship between the first Americans and Native Americans?
You know, what's cool is that as people entered the New World, they spread rapidly. And you had this dispersal of people, you know, initially really quickly down the spine of the Americas, all the way to the tip of South America. And then you had the growth and diversification of populations after that point. And we have in the program a lot of stuff about how people have investigated this in different parts of the New World. And especially, you know, one of the cool things is that there are these skeletons that are in deep underwater caves in the Yucatan of Mexico that are some of the earliest skeletons that anybody's found in the New World. You know, this increasing level of evidence means that a skeleton like Kennewick, we can now put it into the context of other early people. We see that it's not strange. It's a part of this early population that is giving rise to the different groups of peoples in the Pacific Northwest, but also in other parts of the Americas.
You touched on the debate earlier between scientists and tribes that has been going on for years. The tribes who say the ancient one needs to be buried with respect, and the scientists who are looking for more knowledge, who want to study the bones further. Well, as a scientist yourself, where did you fall in that debate?
You know, this was first found just as I was a graduate student and really, you know, coming into the field and seeing that there are conflicts between people about how you should study the past. My own point of view is that if you're going to learn something about the ancestry of people, you need to be engaging with those people. And we have some wonderful anthropologists, archaeologists who are working with ancient remains. And some of the people working with ancient DNA are just amazing at their ability to interact with people, engage them on levels that are beyond just, you know, the scientific, which is sometimes very clinical sounding, and to try to create that two-way channel of communication. I think that we've been much more successful at this in the last 5 to 10 years, but it's certainly true that 15, 20 years ago, you had scientists who were very confrontational. And I think that things today, you start to see that the stories that DNA tells do not support every traditional scientific point of view. You know, you see the scientists changing the way that they interpret evidence. And it's not about this story versus that story or finding evidence for a story. It's about encountering new evidence and seeing how that changes understandings on both sides.
Why do you think it's important for us to understand who the Kennewick Man was and who the First Peoples are?
You know, I point to people in my classes, when I'm doing talks with school groups, you know, all kinds of things. And I say, you know, what makes us human? when you look at yourself, you could say, well, you know, we walk upright like other kinds of, you know, animals don't. You know, it's fairly unique to us. And say, well, you know, there's a lot of people in the world today who do not do that. People say, well, we talk, you know, and that makes us different. I say, you know, babies don't talk. They're human. They're people who will never talk in their lives. You start reflecting on that and realize that there's this huge diversity that we recognize is encompassed within our humanity. What is it that makes us human, really? The one thing that we can point to is our shared history. We all come from a network of relationships. We all have parents and grandparents that connect us to each other. And understanding that shared history, tracing those lines of ancestry back in the past, is what shows us what it is that we all share as humans.